Well, I just coughed and I heard my voice, so I think it's working. Over the last several weeks, Andy has been addressing the need to utilize one's talents and gifts to serve the body of Christ and others. But even more so, this is the calling of Jesus himself, who told us, "Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven." This morning, I want to address what I believe to be one of the greatest gifts that God has given you to serve the body and to serve others, and that is time. And the importance of redeeming the time. I'm going to just tell you right now, this is a simple message, but it is not an easy message for us. Psalm 90:12 tells us, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What does it mean to redeem the time? Ephesians tells us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." To be circumspect with your time is to consider all the circumstances and possible consequences of how we spend our time. And to redeem our time is to rescue it from going to waste. Then you might also ask, what is time? In its simplest form, time is the passing of life. Wasting time is wasting life. And Satan's trick is to make you and I think there is a difference between time wasted and life wasted. Why is it so important that we redeem the time? Well, I would say because it's a limited resource. Psalm 90 says, "Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures." Yet, that's no guarantee. One thing this congregation is blessed with is older people. We have a lot of people in their 70s, 80s, and even 90s. And that's what Psalm 90 says, that our days may come to 70 or 80 if our strength endures, but it's no guarantee. You know, the fear of old age is the false assumption that you have many days ahead of you, because none of us knows what lies in store for us. Let me illustrate the importance of redeeming the time and investing in eternal things. I brought a rope with me, and this rope represents the white part, eternity. And this is how long eternity is. As I take this down, I try to get a 200-footer, but they wouldn't give me one. But use this white part of the rope to illustrate how long eternity is. And if I had a longer one, I'd take it right out the door into the parking lot. Eternity is a long time. But the reality is, for us on this earth, it is a relatively very short time. As Psalm 90 says, 70 or 80 if our strength endures. This red piece of the rope represents our life here on earth. That white piece represents what's after this life on earth. That is why it is vital to invest in eternal things while we are here for a brief time. There are three eternal investments that the Bible talks about. One is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This is where your strength, your help, your encouragement comes to live for these short period of time. The second is the Word of God, which tells us how to live our lives while we are on this earth. And the third, most important one, or equally important, is people. The greatest investment that we can make as believers, as followers of Jesus, is to invest in other people. Why is it so important that we redeem the time? Because one, death is certain. We know, according to Hebrews 9:27, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. The reality is everybody lives eternally. Everybody's going to be on that white line. The question is, where do we spend that eternity? And that is determined by what happens in this short, brief period of our time that we have right now. Death is certain. Everyone dies. But not everyone goes to be with Jesus. And that's why it's important that we invest ourselves and our time in people. We're working under a deadline. Every one of us has an appointment with God. We just don't know when it is. Secondly, time is not recoverable. You cannot recover lost time. James 4:14 says, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When you drove in this morning, it was misty. And maybe when you drive home, the sun will burn that off, but it'll be all gone. And every day we burn another day with our time that we could invest in eternal things. Thirdly, it's our most valuable resources. In Matthew 25, Jesus told a parable. And he said, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. And you may recall in that story, he gave three amounts of wealth to these people. And it was up to them to invest that in a way to make a return. And that is a reminder that God gives each of us a set amount of time for us to invest ourselves in something that is eternal. Because of the value of time, it must be wisely invested. And then fourthly, we will be accountable for our time. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus tells us, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. And this is why it's so important for every one of us to live purposeful, meaningful, purpose-driven lives because of the implication, not just for this life, but for all of eternity. What are the specific ways that I can redeem the time? There's some things that my wife, Cheryl, and I have learned over the years raising seven children. And knowing the precious value of time and the message of hope that only Jesus can provide. I mean, what do you say to a 17-year-old alcoholic? Well, whatever you say, it better be something that can change their life. What do you say to a young girl that's been abused and had tremendous tragedies in her life? Whatever it is, it better be something that can change her life. And there's nothing and no one that I know more that can change a life than Jesus. Because he's changed my life. He's changed my wife's life. He's changed our family's life. And I know he's changed many of your lives. So what are the specific ways that I can redeem the time? You know, when you think about it this way. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus was crucified on the cross. Jesus resurrected from the grave. Is there anything else in the world that could be more important than that? And a man or woman's eternity is based upon their relationship with Jesus. How can we not be driven and motivated to utilize the one valuable resource that God has given us, our time, with that message? What are some specific ways that I can redeem the time? Proverbs 6:9, I like this. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? Will you get up from your sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest? It's what I call mind over mattress. Do you know that we have a purpose to get up in the morning It might not be your boring job. It might not be cutting the grass. We have a far greater purpose. And it's vital that we learn to wake up and get up with purpose in our lives. Why? Because if we're blessed, we have 70 or 80 of these. But regardless, we have an untold number of years this way. And what God would want us to do is to invest not just on earthly things, but more importantly, on eternal things before us. Secondly, get organized and get focused. First Corinthians tells us, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. You know, one of the reasons why it's so vital to invest in God's word, which is also eternal, is because it tells us what we need to be doing. And one of the first things is to put the first things first in our life. Oh, a number of months ago, I preached a sermon on first things first. You may remember it. Give God the first part of every day. Start your day off with him. The first day of every week. That's why you're here right now. The first part of every dollar. The first part of your habits. And first in your home, because your home is the most valuable ministry center in the country. And I would suggest you even more important as a ministry center than the church building, because it is in your home where you live out these eternal values that God has called us to through his word. Not only are we to put first things first, but ask yourself, and I believe this is so critical for those of us who are believers. What is it, Jesus, that you want me to be doing as your follower right now, in the context of the life that I have, in the context of my home, in the context of my work, in the context of the community that I live in? What would you have me do with my time? What are you calling me to do? To invest in the body of Christ and to invest in people. You see, there are more things to do in our lives than we have time to do. And I know many of you are burdened down with, there's so many things to do. And unfortunately, we don't pay attention. We just do it. And we pile one thing on the other, and next thing we know, we're just burdened down by that. Why not ask, Jesus, what do you want me to be doing? How do you want me to serve? What role do you want me to play as a part of the body of Christ? And you know what? One of the greatest ministries, and I will say this especially to you parents. You know, we talk a lot about discipleship. And boy, how could I get into a discipleship group? How could I form a discipleship group? Do you know what? Those of you with families, you have the greatest discipleship group in your home. It's your children. You have the great opportunity to influence for eternity your children and to teach them God's word. And I'll be honest with you, it's frustrating. I include my family in some of my messages, and they usually let me have it afterwards, so I'm trying to be careful here. But I know of a woman who directs a community Bible study. And you know what the greatest frustration is? Kids are so involved in ballerina, in basketball, in football, in gymnastics, and this, and they don't have time to study God's word. And let me just tell you one thing. If they don't, they're not going to experience the blessings that God has for them in eternity. See, this is life and death. And how we spend our time as single people, as parents, as grandparents, to invest not only in your own relationship with God, but to invest in God's word, to know it, to read it, to study it, to understand it, but to obey it, and then to invest in people. I can't tell you what God wants you to do. I don't want that burden. But I know he has something for every one of us. And as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, with the Holy Spirit in your life, he will speak to you and direct you if you ask him. And he will direct you into some opportunities that will allow you to lay up treasures in heaven. Don't make it complicated. Learn to say no to the insignificant things of life so that we can invest in the important things of life. Thirdly, eliminate things that waste time. John 6:27 says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Ask yourself, in the things that you are doing right now, will they be significant 5 years from now? You know, when we were raising 7 children, it was difficult. My wife was stuck at home with 7 kids, whining, complaining, fighting. Well, who's going to teach them? And we worked, and you know what? She felt at times alone. It was thankless. It was unappreciated. But you know what? 5 years later, 2 of our sons went to Florida with Grandma and Grandpa, and they said, "We've never seen anything like this before." Here's 2 young boys, 11 and 12, who actually know how to carry on a conversation in a restaurant with an adult. And they were overwhelmed. You see, we have these opportunities right before us. Don't make it complicated, but you know what? The reason that happened is we had to say no to a lot of other things. And I'll be honest, I know some people who, we got football practice tonight, we got ballet in the afternoon, we've got this, and this, and there's no time for the important things in our lives. You know, I'm going to keep going back to this illustration. This is the one shot you have. Redeem the time because the days are evil. And there's so many distractions, there's so many temptations, there's so many tricks that Satan uses to get you to occupy your life with meaninglessness. But it's your choice. It's your decision as a follower of Jesus Christ what you will choose to do and how you will live your life. Eliminate the things that waste time. And finally, end procrastination. End procrastination. There's a great story in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was talking to a leader. Paul was in prison. And get this. Paul's in prison, and he thinks this is a great ministry. I can do prison ministry. He was chained. He gets brought before Felix, and he preaches the gospel. You know, Paul thought, hey, doesn't matter where I'm at, I have an opportunity to try to invest in eternal things. And the man's name was Felix. And here's the sad part of that story. Here's what Felix said. "That's enough for now, Paul. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Felix was troubled by what he heard, but he put it off. He procrastinated. And maybe you're troubled by some of the things you hear this morning. That's not my goal. My goal is to help you see how valuable your time is on this life. Because one day, I think I mentioned during communion a few weeks ago, on a Friday, my brother called me. My brother is 62 years old, healthy. He's an electrician for General Motors. He was working third shift, and at his afternoon nap, while he was sleeping to get ready for third shift, he was awoken by a seizure. And it kind of freaked him out, and he either passed out or he fell asleep from the seizure. Then his alarm clock went off, and he got up, and he felt really weird. And he says, "I'm going to go into the shower and shake it off." And he went in the shower, and his mouth was all bloodied. He bit his tongue, and he bit his lips. So he called his wife and he says, honey, you gotta, I think I better go to the doctor. So he went to the doctor and they took a CAT scan and he had a brain tumor. And the next day he had brain surgery. What if you wake up tomorrow with a tumor on your brain or cancer? Or, I mean, we gotta act now before it's too late to redeem the time. Because of not only the importance of our message, but all eternity lies in the balance. Don't put off tomorrow what God wants you to do today. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's getting back to first things first, giving God that first part of every day, the first part of every week, the first part of every dollar, first in your habits and first in your home. Maybe it's starting your own discipleship group with your children. Do you know how powerful it is when fathers read the scripture in front of their children? I used to get a big kick. I used to preach. I preach only when Andy needs me now. But when I preached all the time, I would get up and I would throw gasoline on myself and light myself on fire and just talk about how great the Word of God is. 30 minutes. And then all those people would go home. And the kids would never see their father read the scriptures, or they never pray at home. Who do you think they believed? The preacher or their parents? You see, you have a tremendous avenue of influence in your life. And because of the significance and the seriousness of the message of Jesus Christ, you know, think it through again. If this is true, that Jesus was born of a virgin, he came to earth, God in the flesh, lived among us, was crucified, buried, and resurrected. How can there be anything else? That's what we remember every week when we do communion. But do we lose track of the significance of that? And I would suggest to you that how you use your time reveals how seriously you take that message. Because whether it's a brain tumor tonight or you just die of old age, you're going to stand before Jesus and give account for your time. No one knows how long we have on this earth. But this simple illustration that I've used here today does remind us of how important it is. How important it is to make the most of the limited time we have on earth. It doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or 80 years old. You still have time to make eternal investments. I think that's what Pastor Andy's been talking about all along. What gifts, what talents, what avenues do you have? You know, if you're young, you have great opportunity to influence others. If you're old, you have amazing opportunities to influence other people. But the simple question is, what is Jesus calling you to do to serve the body and to serve other people? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. At times it is gut-wrenching, but it is also healing. And it gives us the path, the way of true life and meaning in our lives. And Father, I confess that it is easy to be distracted, that I'm easily distracted by the fluff and duff of this world, when all along you have given us clear direction, clear strength and power through your daily grace, and a clear message of hope. And Father, on that day, if you allow us to be on a deathbed, or if it is we meet you face to face in heaven, it's my prayer that we will not look back with regret on how we spent our time. But we will know that we did the best we could with what we had to seek to bring glory and honor to you. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. just going to say one final word before we sing, guys. It's a heavy message. It's a simple message, but it's not easy. And I remember clearly I can't count it up right now. When I gave my life to Christ when I was 17 years of age, I was a good kid. I was active. I was popular. I had no reason to be frustrated with my life, but I was empty and struggling. Nobody knew it, but I was miserable until someone took me aside and explained simply what Jesus had done. And on March 25th, 1973, when I gave my life to Christ, it was like the weight of the world had left my shoulders. And if you're here this morning, it doesn't matter if you're 17 or if you're 87, if that weight of the world is on your shoulders, there is hope in Jesus. And I would be delighted to share with you how you can come to know him. And I'll be here. You know what? Find me. You know, if you're desperate enough, you'll find me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you again for your word, for its encouragement. And I pray for that man or woman here this morning who is outside of you, but knows there is an emptiness that only you can fill. And I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray for the believers here that you would speak to their hearts on what you would call them to do to serve this body and to serve people. And I pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.